Can we just declare the word of the Lord? Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you have your Bibles, quickly, let's get into our school of prayer today. That's what we have to do. Let us continue to learn how to pray. All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 16. I'm going to read this, and then maybe later we might read the book of Haggai. But let's start from Psalm 16 again. David said, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have battled for another God will be multiplied." He said, "I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood." That's verse 4. "Nor will I take their names upon my lips," that is, those other gods that people have battered for. When you use the word batter, that they have exchanged something for those other gods. He said, "The Lord is a portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot." He says, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night." He says, "I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices." David said, "My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life." He said, "In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." Now, I've been looking at this scripture for some time, and just like we should continue to explain some things about this particular scripture that is concerning the matter of prayer. Let me say this. I want to say something to us again. You know, we are learning to pray. Amen? What are we doing? We are learning to pray. We are correcting. There's a statement I've made before, and let me make it again. There's so much power available to the Christian if we know how to deploy it. The problem is that we don't deploy the power of God the way we are supposed to. The method of deploying the power of God is what is called prayer. The problem sometimes is that people fire their arrows wrongly. They use the power of God that is available to them wrongly. And that is one of the problems we have in today's Christianity. So what we are doing is to help people understand this. There's a statement I wanted to make. Let me now make it. And that's the fact that there is no prayer really you want to pray that is not already in the scriptures. Did you hear what I said? That is, the word of God has said something about every single situation in your life. Every single situation, every thought, everything that you can ever come, any situation you may ever come into, anything that may ever come against you, anything that requires your attention in life, there is none that something is not written concerning in the scriptures. Let me say it again. God has already described that situation, and He has already, all right, told you what He wants to do about them. And prayer is just to take those things and simply lift them up to God. That is all. Listen, let me make this statement, which I make a lot of times. God doesn't want you to use your energy to live for Him. He doesn't want you to use your sense to get any results in life. What He wants is for you to discover that which He has already spoken. You take those ones and begin to speak the same things or lift those words up to Him in prayer. And then you, by that, tap into His power for getting results in life. That is all there is to praying. I hope you are getting my point. Therefore, if you want to pray, you are supposed to pray simply the word of God. That is why you don't, you know, I am, when you think about it, you know, God really, really planned these things very well. In Israel, one thing he commanded them concerning was the book. What I mean is this, he will speak to Joshua, this book must not depart from your mouth. He wrote concerning their kings. The kings were to make a copy of the law and to read it every day. I dare to say to you Christians today, to us, all of us Christians, and that is the fact that God still has the same principle available for us. We are supposed to give attention to reading. We are supposed to give attention to the reading of the scriptures. We are supposed to give attention to hearing the word of God. The reason is that that is the foundation for everything. You can never pray effectively except you have knowledge of what God has said. Any other prayer is doubtful. When John said that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You know, sometimes people say that, how do you know the will of God? Okay, let me ask as an example now. I need a new microphone. All right, as an example, a preacher, this is as a practical example. Now I want to ask the Lord, they say, is that thing according to the will of God? That was not, you see, you must understand, when the Bible was talking, it wasn't leaving it to you to guess as to whether this is the will of God or this is not the will of God. I need a new house. Is it the will of God that I get a new house? That was not what John was saying. There was never, listen, in the mind of John, there was no doubt as to the knowledge of whether something is the will of God or it is not. It is not as if, well, maybe the reason why I didn't get it, maybe it's not the will of God. That was not what they were trying to say. When Jesus said, pray like this, thy will be done. He wasn't trying to say that, you know, one of the ways Christians learned to pray those days is that when they finish a prayer, I was not into adult Christianity when that was going on. By the time I came into adult Christianity, you know what I mean by adult Christianity? You know what I mean by adult Christianity? Okay. Christianity in which you are an active participant, you are a decision maker. You decide to go to church, you decide to pray, you decide to read your Bible. Not the one which your mother gathers you and says, everybody. You get what I'm trying to say now? If your mother says, okay, everybody, sit down, I want to teach you the word of God. That's not adult Christianity. That is childhood Christianity. You are a child, your mother is telling you what to listen to. You cannot tell your mother she's not praying properly. You just say amen. If your mother prays with a rosary, you will get on and say, everybody, let us pray. She brings out a rosary and everybody queues up. Do you understand? Now, what I call adult Christianity is that when you are the one that said, this is how I want to pray. Are you getting my point? All right, so you understand what I'm saying there. So I was not yet into adult Christianity when people used to pray and end every prayer with, if it be thy will. I don't think I ever participated in that kind of prayer thing. And as an adult, maybe when I was in school, when I went to fellowships, and I said, let us pray. Sister ABC is sick, let us pray for her. Father, Sister ABC, let her be well. Cure her of her illnesses, if it be thy will. Amen. Are you getting my point? Now, some people pray like that. Yes, it was an established way of praying in a lot of Christian circles. One of the reasons why I never participated in it is that by the time I became an adult, I could stand on my own and make my decisions. I was a university student, and then I joined fellowships where they were learning the word of faith. And it is better you walk naked on the road than come to fellowship and pray, if it be thy will. I don't know whether you get my point. They are going to kill you. Like, what is wrong with this guy? How can you pray such unbelieving prayer? They will call it unbelief. So we did not go near it at all. When I started praying, we were praying by faith. We were even using faith to collect what God didn't want to give. How much more the one he wants to give? We're using faith for everything, all right? The Lord is good. Now, what am I trying to say? Those who used to make those statements and say, if it be thy will, they thought they were following what John said. If we ask anything in that first John chapter 5, according to his will, he hears us. So they think that, all right, if God is going to hear you, it will be because you prayed according to his will. And then the will now was a matter of gamble. So let us go and pray for Sister ABC that is ill. We will not say, if it be thy will. So if she dies, it was not his will. If she lives, then it was his will. Now, I'm not talking about praying for health now. I just want to explain something. That was not what John was saying. When Jesus said, pray like this, thy will be done. The issue of the will of God was not being argued concerning. It was not being argued upon concerning whether God will answer the prayer or not. They understood what was the will of God and they prayed it. What am I going to say? The will of God was written. And that's what I've been trying to explain, although that's, you know, the other time we discussed about what I call the prophetic confessions versus positive confession. Yes, prophetic declarations and positive confession. I explained something that as Christians, we have to be careful that we don't go into those, some of those fine specifics that we don't have the ability, do you understand, to decide by ourselves. I mean, you don't know exactly where you're going to be in 10 years' time, so you cannot pray specifically about where you are going to be in 10 years' time. That one is left to God. However, there are certain things you pray about. And what I'm going to bring out from that today is this. When John said, thy will, when John was talking about praying according to his will, what he was saying is discovering that which is already written. Are you getting my point? And that is what we used to pray. That's why I refer to the issue of prophetic declarations. It's not just about being positive. It's about discovering that which is what? Written. So a Christian can never be effective in his or her prayer life, except knowledge is part of that life. In Christianity, we don't pray wishes. We pray that which is what? Written. That is why you see, let's just look at it. When the disciples wanted to pray, in the book of Acts, quickly, let's just go there. The book of Acts chapter 4. Now, the story here, of course, we all know, just want us to read something there together. It was when they arrested that's Peter and Co. And then they were now released. And Peter and John answered and said to them, what do you want us to do? All right? Okay, you know, we're not discussing that now. But let's now get to what happened when they go back home. Verse 23. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven. Now, that's what I want to bring out. From this particular point, they were quoting the scriptures. O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now, if you have a Bible that marks the quotations from the law and the prophets differently, you'll see it at this point. Like my Bible puts every quotation from the law and the prophets in capital letters, just by the way. If you notice, I earlier in the year, I repented from calling Old Testament. I now call it the law and the prophets. If you hear Old Testament from my mouth, it's a mistake. Just bad habit, you know, that dies hard, okay? But the proper expression is the law and the prophets. The concept of Old Testament gives a wrong impression to Christians concerning how to handle those books. You know, you see a lot of faith people saying that God wrote those things to Israel. Meanwhile, it is not true. God didn't write them to Israel. God wrote them for Israel to keep. Do you understand my point? There's a difference. If I write a will, I didn't write it to my lawyer. I wrote it for my lawyer to keep. And that in case of my demise, they are going to take the thing and use it to execute my estate. I did not write it to the lawyer. I did not write it even to the government. I wrote it actually to my family, to my friends, to people that need to profit, all right, or those who are concerned about how to manage my estate. And that's how it is. Israel was God's lawyer. They were like God's, the word is safekeepers. Paul called them, to them was committed the oracles of God. So they were God's instrument to bring the word of God to the earth. That's number one. And number two, they were the ones that kept the word until we're all now able to get them in scripts that we all have today. That's just by the way. So, you know, we keep on learning. We drop these things here and there. I found out that Christians often misunderstand it. I'm not discussing that now. I don't want to digress, but you see me being deliberate about not calling it Old Testament. What the Bible actually calls Old Testament, which that is taking that from the book of Hebrews, what the Bible calls Old Testament is the covenant that God made with Israel on Mount Sinai, mediated by Moses. That's the one the book of Hebrews calls the Old Testament. Are you getting my point? It's not Genesis to Malachi. That's just by the way. Like I said, we can't go into discussing that in details now. Just by the way. So you just know what I'm trying to say. So, and if you have a Bible like that, you see, begin to use, it will use, my own Bible uses capital letters for that which is taken from the law and the prophets. Now, so here, he said that you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Verse 25, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said. Then they began to quote again. Are you getting my point? You now see they were quoting what David said, all right, which the Holy Spirit said to David. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Their prayer was based upon that. That's what I want to bring out. You see, they now pointed out that this is scripture that actually describes the current situation that they were facing. And that was what they used to pray. I want you to understand that. They did not just pray because of their own personal wishes or experiences. Oftentimes in Christianity today, what we pray is societal wishes. Some people don't know when they are praying. They'll give you a proverb. It's not Bible. Those who don't know scripture will think it's a scriptural quote. It's actually, it may be William Shakespeare or a village proverb. Now, I don't know about here. Very common in the West. Very common in Western Nigeria. I don't know about Eastern Nigeria here. Now, you see a man pray, especially when he's praying in Yoruba like this. He will just give you, the guy is giving you all for incantation. Sometimes Odufa, the man is quoting. You know they call Odufa? Pastor Faye is laughing. The man will not know when he starts quoting something that is not scripture. Why? Because maybe people say something like, hey, you should give me one now. One of those ones, they will just quote it. It's an African saying, but it sounds so true, and people will be using it to pray. Sometimes the thing is actually against the word of God. Now, what I'm going to say is that, now, if you see these people, their prayer was based specifically on what God had said. And that's what I'm trying to explain in all of this, my talk. That you see, there is a word that describes that situation in your life. There is a word. When you're talking about praying the will of God, that's what it means. The will of God is written. The will of God is recorded. Are you getting my point? That's why John said, if we ask anything according to his will. These people asked according to his will. What is that will? They gave it from him from the book of Psalms. That's Psalms 2 they were quoting there. That was the second Psalm there. They gave it to the Lord from the book of Psalms. This was what happened there. Then they add these things to the words that the Lord Jesus told them, and they offered that as their prayer. That's how God answers. Prayers that are not based upon that which is written in the scriptures is not according to his will. It's according to our wish. That's why let me just really drop it. As Christians, we must learn. There's no substitution to learning. They came to the Lord Jesus and said, teach us to pray. Please, I'm trying to bring out, that's not my message for this evening, really. I just want to use that one to introduce something. So if we're going to do anything successfully in life, listen to me. The will of God is that which is written. That is what is written. Let's now get back to where we were, Psalm 16. We have been using what we have been teaching on Saturdays, the issue of the advancement of the kingdom of God to pray. And that's the point I'm still on here. Now, but last time we were here, I was explaining a particular principle. Don't ever forget it. Without us sticking, that is, maintaining our saltness, God cannot do anything on the earth. I hope that is clear. We must realize that. Government is not going to change things. I was discussing with my mother today. I was just analyzing. She said, what government? I said, you know it's not government. She said, it's true. Began to analyze it. I said, the local government chairman, Jonathan was not government until a few years ago. There is no longer government. Is it still government? It's no longer government. There's a new government. Your lecturer in the university, is it government? The man who sells you stuff in the market, is it government? These people are not government, all right? Your wife, your husband, they are not government. Your neighbors in the house, they are not government. But if you look around, these are the people that cause the problem in the society. It is not government. And please, I want to emphasize that. It is never government. You know, we keep on looking as if government should come and do something. Let me say it to us again. The government we get is a reflection of what God wants to do for us. That is very important. I believe that one of the reasons why our current president won this election is because there is something he wants to do. And we have already begged him, prayed. You understand what I'm trying to say? We've already interceded for the nation. And God says, it is now time to do this. That's why he now brought him in. And please, just by the way, I'm digressing. Please continue to pray the prayers you prayed before the current president came into office. You must all the prayer against corruption, all the declaration for progress, all the prayers against injustice, continue praying those prayers. Because it's as you continue to pray those prayers that the reason why God brought the man into office will be executed. Don't ever for one moment, let me say it again. Don't ever for one moment remove your eyes and hope from God who answers prayers to the man he has placed in office. If you do that, you will kill the man. Did you hear what I said? If we as a church now put our hope, every day you wake up, what is he up to now? What is he up to now? The man will die. Because the pressure of our spirits will weigh him. I'm telling you. That's when you realize that human beings are just human beings. Jesus said God said they are but what? Flesh. He said their breath is in their nostrils. That's what they are. You know what that means? It means if he's in Abuja here, he can't control what happens in Enugu. It's only God that can do those things. I think we must bear that in mind, please. I just need to explain that again. Don't let us for one moment remove our eyes and our expectation, our faith from the God we have been praying to. And that's because this man is fighting corruption. We now relax and say, yes, let's see how much of corruption he can fight. Corruption is a spirit. A human being can't fight it. What did I say? Okay, the first one was what? Second one is? Human beings are just instruments. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Are you getting my point? Very important. Now, why did I go into that? Just to bring out that the fact that I believe that when we cried enough, God began to do something in that area. Now, it is the effect of the people that are on the earth that you will feel in their leadership. The leaders cannot force the people to be good. When the people are good enough and they offer enough prayers, then they call into their midst good leadership. That is why, forget this pointing of fingers, there is nobody that's the leaders. There's nobody that's the rulers. All of us that are adults in the country are guilty. The worst culprits today in Nigeria are pastors. At least those who pretend to be. Because there are two groups of pastors now. There are those who are really pastors and preachers. And there are those who decided that there's good box in the God racket. May God, this second group, may God quickly drive them away in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That second group. The other one, may God correct them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The second group doesn't need correction. They need punishment. Go back to where you came from. You understand my point? Those ones, they need punishment. They won't go away. They should be destroyed. You know those kind of things. But the other people, the Lord is good. If you want to fake something, go and fake that you're a panebita. Be a fake panebita. You get my point? Be a fake mechanic. Don't be a fake preacher of the word of God. You are begging for judgment. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are begging for judgment too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but the other ones, we'll pray for them for correction. The ones that are really called, but they are making the mistake. They are the worst culprits today. I'm not saying that as to paint them as bad people. I'm trying to emphasize the fact that their own effect, all right, is what is most potent. It's like you go to a hospital and find that all the doctors are murderers. What do you think? You know, if an arm robber is a killer, he's an arm robber. But when I find that the doctor, the injection in his hand is used to kill people, you know there's real trouble. Because you know the reason? Those who are sick, this is where they come for healing. You see, we go from house to house, wearing coats, immunizing children against polio, immunizing children against trying to eradicate a disease. Imagine that thing they are carrying is poison. I hope you are following my point. That when they tell the child, yeah, open the mouth, they drop two doses of cyanide inside. You know there is a problem. That is why the iniquity amongst the pastors is a serious problem. Because if a politician steals money, he's a politician. But then, when God wants to correct the society, he sends his people to the doctors, spiritual doctors. Do you understand? Now, you now say, go to hospital. You get there, the people can't get cured. And that is the only hope. God doesn't have any other operation on the earth today. He says, if I want to change the society, I send them to where the word of God is being taught. So if those people are not telling the truth, then the society is in trouble. Even Jesus said it. He said, if the light in you is now darkness, how great is that darkness? So the church, I was saying, that when we have iniquity in the society, remember the point I was going to make is that it's only the kind of leaders that we deserve that we get. If we're going to deserve good leaders, it will be because we have prayed the right prayers and we are doing the right things individually. That's what I wanted to emphasize. We have prayed the right prayers and we are doing the right things individually. That's my first point. So anyway, the meaning of that is that we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. I just want to emphasize that we are the hope of the country. We are the hope of the world. It is us that are the hope for good things that will come down to this earth. Now, remember we said that Satan always tries to distract us and drag us in the wrong direction. And remember something I said at the beginning? We don't walk righteously by our own strength. We don't do what is right by our own power. What we do is use the power of God to accomplish everything he wants to do in our lives. And that's why we read that Psalm 16. I was trying to talk about praying the right prayers. I was just trying to remind us of that. So you see, how do we keep ourselves pure? How do we keep our lives pure so that God can use us to affect the things that are on the earth? That's the point I was trying to make. It is simply by praying the right prayers. All this is my talk. That's what I wanted to just try and explain, all right? It is simply by praying the right prayers. It is not just by desire. You can desire what is good, that it will do what is good, and not have the power to do it. That's what we're trying to say. You can desire to do what is good and not have the power to do it. What God gave us prayer for, primarily, is so that we'll be empowered to do that which we know to be right and which we desire to do. That is a primary reason he gave us the power to pray. Our prayer for our own personal lives is not about our so-called needs. Needs are added automatically. You are getting my point. We must never forget the story of Solomon. When Solomon was given the opportunity to pray, all right, and ask God for anything. Thank God he's not a modern-day Pentecostal. Thank God he's not a modern-day man who has sown a lot of seeds for his own personal life. If God said, ask me for anything, you know, just by the way, can I digress a bit again? I've heard preachers say that when Solomon offered a thousand burnt offerings, God could not sit down in heaven again, as if the offering was the problem. God now came and said, Solomon, ask me for anything. That's where they stop. They forget that when God gave Solomon that opportunity, he did not ask for anything. What he asked for was how to do right, how to do what is good. That was all the man asked for. That's what we know about his request for wisdom. In the same manner, if God comes to you today and says, ask me for anything, let's take examples. The Bible says those things were recorded for what? Our learning. Let's also know how to pray. If God comes to you now and says, ask for anything, the question is, what are you going to ask for? Go home and think about it. Now, how will you know what you will ask for? Can I tell you? What you have been asking for. So just check what you have been asking for over the last few weeks. That is it. You know, people want to say that, okay, if God asked me for this, I know what I will ask for. Forget that thing. Just check what you have been asking for in the last 1 month. That will tell you what you will ask for if it showed up to you personally, that is physically. Come and say, my girl, ask me for anything. You are thinking that if the day God comes, I'm going to ask him for wisdom. It's a lie. Have you asked him for wisdom in the last 1 month? If you haven't, forget it too. The day he comes, you will not ask for wisdom. These things were recorded for what? Our learning. The man we know in the scriptures that had the greatest opportunity to make a request from God was Solomon. God walked to him and said, ask me for anything. Again, I'd like to emphasize, we can see that anything could be anything. And anything would have been granted. But then the one that Solomon asked for was not only granted, it excited God. Do you follow my point? I think it's important to us that we pray prayers that make God happy. I would like you to go and record a prayer meeting, maybe in your church or in your life. Just think about your prayer point over the last 1 month and say, let me analyze it. How does God feel about this? If you say, Lord, this is my year of buying a car, just know that he's not glad. He's not excited. Because he said, don't worry about these things. He said, this year, anything, just check it. There are scriptures to show you. He may answer. He may answer. But we know the things he's not excited about. Solomon made his request and the Lord was excited. I think we should be confident enough in the mercy and the love of our Father to pray the way Solomon did. That is when we are given the opportunity. What am I trying to say? That's what prayer was given to us for. A man is an angry man. Such a man shouldn't pray for a job. You're always getting angry. Why do you want to pray for your work? Why are you praying for promotion in the office? I don't know whether you're getting my point. When God comes and says, what do you want me to do for you? Say, Lord, kill this anger. I'm always angry. You're a young woman, you're always afraid. God says, what should I do for you? Ah, well, what are you asking for husband and gold for? What are you doing with husband and gold when you're always afraid? Say, Lord, this spirit of fear, what is he doing here? I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. You find out that you are quarrelsome, you are jealous. I mean, when they go, what should I do for you? You don't have time to be praying for. Some people will not use that, their bad habit, as prayer point. What I mean is this. Lord, what should you do for me? Anytime we go home, Emeka will be talking as if he's the only one. What should you do for me? This year, make me greater than Emeka. Yes, we do that. And that's what we must never do. That's what I'm going to emphasize. The primary reason why God gave us prayer, is so that using it, that's what we read from, we're not going to read now, but we know it's there, from the book of Hebrews chapter 4. It said, draw near to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. When Jesus prayed the hottest prayer, it was the time that, he was not praying for God to soften the cross. I hope you know that. Did you notice that? He wasn't praying that, dear Lord, make this cross easier than usual. Because if I were the one, I would say, God, as they are putting that nail in, I don't want to feel it. If they are beating me, let me not notice. Put me in a trance while the whole thing is going on. That was not his prayer point. His prayer point was that there is a risk of disobedience. I don't know whether I get my point. That was the prayer point. This thing we're about to face is very difficult. It is tough to the bones. And like I say all the time to believers, if something appears hard to you, don't do it yet until you can do it confidently. Did you hear what I said? I'm about to digress again. This man is laughing. If somebody says, sell your car today and give it, you go to church, you drive your car to church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You drive your car to church. Now say, you will say to God, this car, I'm releasing it on the altar so that my life can change. Let me just beg you. You know I'm a preacher. I want an offering too. Now I'm not going to bring out something, so I'm not against it. I cannot be against it. I say it all the time. People give to Kingdom World Ministries. That's how God increases the work that we are doing. That's the method he's using, all right? We get very few free things. Most of the things we do, we have to pay for them. And those things, people bring money and it's paid. So that's how we do it. So it's very good. However, what I want to advise you is this. That car you want to give, you know what you should do? Drive it home first. Drive it the second day. On the third day, if you still want to give it, then bring it back. I have my reasons. Jesus did not rush to the cross. So. Because if you rush to the cross, when they give you hammer, you will change your mind. A lot of people, that's the problem. I've seen people, they went to church, give car, afterwards the car passes, even though they give again. It happens. Things like that do happen. The people who come, make a pledge, and suddenly, they realize that, 500,000 naira a month for 6 months, who will pay it? They're not going to be begging. And then the pastor, if he's a very tough guy, say, no, don't say in the presence of an angel, it's an error. Say, no, if you make a vow to the Lord, you must keep it. The reason why people make those mistakes is that they do things under impulse. The Lord Jesus wasn't like that. Now, I started by saying that as a believer, if you are going to do something that is difficult, if it looks difficult, don't do it yet. If it's feeling hard, you're not ready. What do? You go into the garden and pray until you can stand up boldly and tell your disciples, let us go. And you are ready to face the army You are ready to face the Roman soldiers. You are ready to face the people that are coming to arrest you and crucify you. That was what Jesus did. This is my conviction. Why did he come down? Why did he go? You know, he went to the garden to pray. He came back, returned, came back, returned, effectively praying three times. Why did he pray three times? He wasn't counting. This is what I understand. When he finished praying one time, he came out. When he smelled the first Roman soldier approaching, he said, "This is, we're not ready yet." He went back inside and prayed the same prayers. Now, the point is this. The prayer was prayed until doing the will of God was, which I don't want to use the word easy, but he was fully persuaded and he was ready for it. Because in Christianity, it is he that endures to the end. He that endures to what? The end. That is the person that will be saved. I'm talking about what God gave us prayer for. Many times we spend our energy on the thing that God will have added to us if we had done what is right. We spend our energy praying on those things. God gave us prayer to be able to do right. That's the primary reason. You have been working somewhere. God, you now feel a call of God to leave where you are working and travel over to Tanzania as a missionary. If every time you think about it, cold catches you. You know the way we say it? Suddenly, you start shivering every time you think of Tanzania. One or two things. Either you are not called to Tanzania, or you have not yet clocked enough time in the garden. How will you know if you are called to Tanzania? Don't worry about it. Just clock enough time in the garden. By the time you pray enough in that garden, one of two things will happen. One, either you will get up one day and say, why not? You resign the job, we're off to Tanzania. Or you will suddenly discover that, what's my own business with Tanzania? It was because one day we're in church, one man was telling a lot of stories about missionaries in Tanzania. That was why I wanted to go. The only time you will discover one of those two things is after you have clocked enough time in prayer. That's the point I'm trying to make. And how do I pray that prayer? It is simple. No, I said there's no prayer that is not written. There's none. Anyone that's not written that you need to pray, then the Holy Spirit will enter into you and help you to pray that one with groanings that cannot be uttered. Otherwise, every prayer is already written. For example, the Tanzania matter. There are so many scriptures. Psalm 40 is there. Psalm 139 is there. Jeremiah chapter 1 is there. You carry all of those things. Lord, this is what you have said concerning me. Before I was born, you knew me. Before I was conceived, you consecrated me to be something which I don't know right now. You understand my point? But I know I was born to be something. That is, I dedicate myself to that thing again in the name of Jesus. You go to Psalm 40. This was the reason why you gave me a body. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. My ear you have pierced so that I will have understanding. I will be able to understand. You speak that one. In Psalm 139 is there. The days that were recorded for my life, before there was yet any one of them, they were already written in your books. You declare those things. This is what I want. This is how I want to walk. The grace to walk upon them according to these words I receive today in the name of Jesus. You pray that you are the one that's at work within me, both to will and to do your good pleasure. You lead me in the path of righteousness for your own namesake. That's what prayer is. You don't need to use too many words. Just be reading out the scriptures. Before you start praying, check all the scriptures that apply. Get up and start reading them out loud. Read them out loud. Read them out loud for 30 minutes. You are praying enough for the day. You go. Remember, the word works. What did I say? Remember that when we say the word works, we don't mean that when we declare this will happen, it will happen. That happens. I'm not saying that won't happen. But when we say the word works, what we mean is that the word that you have declared will go out and work things for you. The word can make somebody come and say, my guy, what are you doing in Nigeria? Oh, you're a computer specialist. They need people like you in Tanzania. Yeah, you know God. I don't know whether I get my point. You just know that God has called you. You just know. You say, give me your CV now. You know, when they give you a job in Tanzania, suddenly, the movement to Tanzania is suddenly easier. Maybe you're working in a telecommunication company in Nigeria before, and I tell you that there's one in Tanzania, they're expanding. And they want to have a pan-African flavor, so they need people from different parts of Africa. That is, that one, even if they
If they employ you and put you in the heart of where Boko Haram, what do you call the other people? Al-Qaeda is trying to plant in. You know, you will not be afraid at that time. You will realize that this one is a calling. That's what we mean when we say the word works. What I'm trying to emphasize, the primary reason why God gave us prayer is so that with it we can obey Him. Obedience to the Lord is not hard if we know the right method. That is why the day of judgment, God has no problem judging anybody, because He knows if you wanted to obey, I had the instruments available for you. Anyone who disobeys did not want to obey. Why that is Psalm 16 again? That's what we began from. That's what we were reading last time. Trying to emphasize to us that if we are going to keep our righteousness, it will not be because we are strong. It will not be because we know how to do it. It will be simply because we know how to utter the right words in prayer. So back to the issue of being salt of the earth, being light of the world, being the people that will advance the kingdom of God. Remember, it is number one by being different. Are you getting my point? It is by being different. It is by ensuring that we all the time reflect the righteousness of God. And how do we do it? That's where we are. Psalm 16. Let's now go back there. David said, let me just start from verse 2. I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. They are my true heroes. The sorrows of those who have battled for another God will be multiplied. I will not pour out their drink offering of blood. That is, I won't join them. I will not even utter the names of those other gods. I will not. I will not engage in serving them." That's what he said in verse 4. He said, "Instead of that, I declare, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance and my cup. That same Lord sustains my lot. He supports my lot. As I am walking with Him, the lines continually fall for me in pleasant places, and my heritage is beautiful to me. Whatever God gives to me, I know is beautiful. If He gives me only manna, I will eat it and I will be glad." Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That's what David was saying. If He gives me only manna, I will eat it and I will be glad. "I will bless the Lord who has counseled me." He said in verse 8, "I have set the Lord continually before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices." He says, "My flesh also will dwell securely. God will not abandon me to destruction in the midst of my challenges. He will not allow me to decay inside the pit where people try to throw me into, or where the situations of life have thrown me into. But He will make me know the path of life, because in His presence," He says, "is fullness of joy, and in His right hand are pleasures evermore." My brothers, my sisters, that is prayer we just prayed right there. I hope you're getting my point. These are the things that set your feet on the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Can we rise to our feet? Let's begin to declare the word of God. Quickly, we are closing now. Let's do what we did last time. Everybody, let's start from verse 2. We'll just read the word of God together. Whichever, I'll read verse 2, you read verse 3. We did that last time. We won't pass out the comment, but it's very important that we continually put these words in our mouth. David said, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you." Verse 2. "I have no good besides you." In verse 3, he says, "As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight." Verse 4. "The sorrows of those who have battled for another God will be multiplied. I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips." Verse 5. "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup." Repeat that, please. Let me say it again. You repeat it. "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup."
The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup.
One more time. "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup."
The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup.
Say, "The Lord sustains that which concerns me." Declare it.
"The Lord sustains that which concerns me."
Say, "The lines are falling to me in pleasant places." Repeat that, please.
"The lines are falling to me in pleasant places."
"Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me." Repeat it.
"Indeed, my heritage
Now read verse 7, then read verse 8. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. Let's read that again, verse 8. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be moved. Let's read one more time. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he's my right hand. In verse 9, it says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. Verse 10. Let's read verse 11 together. You will make me know the path of life. Amen. The Lord is good. Quickly, go down to Psalm 23. I want us to read 23 again. That is what prayer is about. Psalm 23. Now, reading this now is not just about recitation. Are you getting my point? What we are doing is that when we utter these words, what we are doing is to tap into the power of God to live righteously on the earth. That's my emphasis. It's not just about getting things. You know, Christians in modern days, we have been so inundated with teachings on how to get. No, I think we should focus our attention more on how to be. Are you getting my point? I like to give this example all the time, this issue of being a giver. A lot of times we Christians are taught that give so you can get. God said, no. If you are giving so you can get, you are still trying to get. Are you getting my point? But what do I want it to be? I want it to be what? A giver. A giver is somebody, it's a nature. It's a nature that you have. You don't think of what you are going to get. That's just what you have become. You are generous. You are kind. The love of God is expressed, all right, through you. God can channel things through you. What he's doing is making you into something. He's not trying to make you, he's not teaching you how to get. He's making you. That's why Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It is something that you are. People sometimes say that God gave a son and he got a lot of children back. That is not a lie. But that was not why he did it. The Bible told us simply that he gave so that they will not perish but have. It was always given. And so the Lord said to us, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What am I teaching this season? That we must engage the word of God so that we'll become something. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. A lot of Christians these days, they are not givers. They are still as selfish as before. They are as wicked. There are many people that their pastors think they are generous. Their neighbors think they are the devil. Yeah, their neighbors think that they are the most wicked human beings around. Yet the pastors think they are generous. Why? Because they only give when they are under this pressure of give so that they can collect something. But they don't realize that they have not been converted into being what God wants them to be. And this is what I'm going to emphasize to Christians again. Why God gave us his word primarily is so that through it, we can become what he wants us to be. That's my emphasis. Listen, so that this one we're talking about resisting temptation. I don't believe that Jesus was trying to resist them. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I'm not saying he didn't resist, though, but it wasn't like, this temptation, you won't get me. You will not get me. The Bible says he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. He hated it. That was what he had become. That's my emphasis. That was what he had become. He was somebody that hated iniquity. Resisting sin is easy, relatively speaking, now, for somebody who hates the thing you are tempting him to do. Many Christians are still trying to resist sin. They actually love it. They still like the wages of iniquity. Just that if we do it now, the curse where Pastor Banky, the curse, he and those his people for prayer talking to God, they will all keep us in one day. Yeah, this guy is thinking that if I continue this, the judgment will just come. So because of the fear of judgment, you understand my point? He runs away. For that reason, resisting is hard. Resisting is difficult for him. But when you get to a point where, when you talk about hatred, the Bible said that has loved righteousness and hated wickedness or hated iniquity. What am I going to say? Listen, you can't change yourself. Somebody say amen. You can't. God has planted a seed inside you so that when the word of God comes into you, the word that's coming and the seed inside it, they interact, they react, and make you a different person. Something that you were not before. I always like to give the testimony of Ben Carson. Angry man. Hot-tempered. Then one day God helped him and he hated anger. Then he ran down to his house and prayed until he got a new title, Gentle Ben. I thought we should open somewhere. Psalm 23. Let me say something before we read it. God is our Father. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God is a good God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying this? He literally, he will take care of you more than you ever wanted to be taken care of. There is no need to worry. I feel like somebody should hear this. There is no need to worry. God is thinking more of you than you are thinking of yourself. He has a better plan for your life. You spent 3 years, or is it 3.5 years, playing Visa Lottery until Visa Lottery ended. Then now you've used other methods to try and get to America. God said, listen, if I get you there, you run back. The reason why I have not let you go is that it won't help you. The reason why I have not let you go is because what do you want to be? You can be better where I have kept you here, all right, than where you are imagining. After all, you are deceived. It's only those who come back home that you see. What about those you have not heard from in 5 years? You've forgotten them. They are there too. You know, some people, sometimes, let me not digress. Some people, they go and walk, they won't walk. Why? You know, they are singing, waiting for to become like Two-Face. Nothing wrong with singing, you know. That's nothing wrong with singing. But for every Two-Face you see, there are like 100,000 boys. They are dead face, my guy. I'm telling you. You see, one boy, he just raps more. He thinks he can rap. Let them just throw you on the streets of one state in America. You know those boys rap for breakfast. When they are eating, that is, they are eating, is rapping. When you see them, you will change your mind. Yeah, they have not made it. The Lord is good. I don't even know why I went into that. Sometimes we have fixed our minds on where God said, don't worry, there's nothing there. I mean, I'm walking in your life. Listen, you know, I look at myself sometimes. I don't look like an old man to me yet. I don't know what you think, but I don't look like an old man to me, okay? But you know, when I started contemplating life, it's funny. It's getting close to 30 years now that I started looking at things. And you know the truth? What I thought was far is now history. When I entered University of Benin in 1985, I entered to study medicine, 6 years. My friends who were studying 4-year course, they were feeling sorry for me. That you mean you are going to be in school for 6 years? Wow. I still remember when they were looking at me, I said, what did you eat today you were feeling deformed? Did you not know that it would be 6 years? I know it looks so long. Except that for me, 6 years ended in 1991. That's 24 years ago. You know what I'm going to explain? What appears far for you, you will get there, you overtake it so fast. You say, what was our issue in the first place? That's when the Bible tells you about patience. It wasn't saying that you will die before I bless you. He said, this thing you are calling long, it will pass just now. And I will bless you abundantly. He said, dwell in the land and do what? Cultivate faithfulness. Your Father is alive. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And is consciously thinking about you. He's plotting and planning something for you. He said, the lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. He said, your heritage is pleasant. Your heritage is good. Are you getting my point? Yes, listen. I know you think that you sing better than Two-Face, but don't worry. Two-Face did not make himself. I hope you're getting my point. Nobody in life here, pastor, people say that you go to, South Korea to go and learn how to grow a big church. You think Yonggi Cho knows how to grow a big church? He does not. He found a big church growing around him. I don't know whether I hear what I said. He doesn't know it though. When people go and say, you go there, you learn the law. All of them came back to Nigeria, started home cell, closed home cell, opened home cell, closed it again. You want, look, unless Nigerians are Koreans, forget it. What works in Korea won't work in Nigeria. The methods are different. The man did not even know. It was as things were growing, he was adapting to the growth. Are you getting my point? It is the word that grows and prevails. You just preach the truth and relax. There's nothing like method, though. God has appointed your own place for you. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
How do you find it? Just dwell in the land and do what? Cultivate faithfulness. In due season, he will lead you in the path of righteousness for his own namesake. You get my point? What am I saying there? He will lead you there. Psalm 23. Let's read it quickly. Say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're going to read it together, okay? I tend to interrupt and talk once in a while, just so as to amplify it for people. I'll read verse 1, then you read verse 2. Remember, this is prayer. What did I call it?
Prayer.
This is prayer. This is prayer. This is not just reciting a psalm. All right? When we declare the word of God like this, that word is alive. It goes out. It comes from your mouth, all right? It's going out. Angels hearken, the Bible says, unto the voice of his word. In fact, what I'm going to do now is that I will read Psalm 23, verse 1. You pause for like 15 seconds. Then when I say go, you read it out loud. In the 15 seconds, you are contemplating the words in your mind. Are you getting my point? All right? I'll read it out loud. I'll give you a time, then you repeat the last one that I read. Verse 1. It said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Think about it. Just about 5 seconds or so, because of time. Now repeat it. I'll read it again, but now just repeat it immediately. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Know what it says? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, before you say something, just close your eyes for a moment and think about it. What David was saying, this is how it is with the shepherd. It is his responsibility to find where the green pasture is, and then he leads his sheep there. The sheep don't find the pastures and inform the shepherd, we have found pasture, come and take a look. No. That's why David said, the lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. That is, the Lord led me to a place I did not even know existed. Are you getting my point? Declare it now. Say, he makes me lie down in green pastures.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside quiet waters. I heard something recently, just to inform us, that why the Bible says quiet waters, that sheep, they can't drink from water that's turbulent because their nose is very close to their mouth. Are you getting my point? So it's not every water that they drink. That if you get sheep to where the water is turbulent, where the water is rushing and all of that, rushing over stones, they end up inhaling water. So the shepherd needs to find a place for them that is fitted to their makeup. That's why I said to you, you may see plenty of water. Some waters will drown you. Did you get my point? Somebody saw, like, where did we hear the story of somebody saw, is it my Jack? Okay. Well, I don't like an article. Somebody was like, my Jack. Oh, that was long ago now. If I check my Jack, that it was a big man that time, you know, the two face of his time, coupled with P-Square of that time, the one man, all of the inside one man, send down the rain. When they showed this picture, man had lost his teeth, was walking on the road like a destitute. You know what happened to him? The Lord led me beside still water somewhere. He said to go and go to turbulent waters in New York. When he got there, that's how he healed water. Are you getting my point? Listen, honestly, that was all finished that man. It was the time he went to New York, that was when his life came to an end. I was in an article about his wife wrote, and she left him long ago, that the man frustrated her life. Come back home drunk and high on drugs. Things he did not do in Lagos. When he got to New York, man, they hide the guy high where he never came down. He's been high since. Honestly, I wish, go and get some of, if those of you don't know him, you didn't listen to him, get his albums. The guy's voice is like that of Bob Marley. Those guys were born with crisp, clear. My Jack had it. Yeah, and Bob Marley, their voice, made by God. The man left quiet waters and went to troublesome waters. His life has not been the same since. It is not everywhere you see things that are bubbling that you jump into. You drown in certain places. Are you getting my point? What the shepherd does is to identify your own water that is appropriate for you, and then he leads you there. I hope you are getting my point. Let's declare it again. Say, he makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside quiet waters.
He restores my soul.
Because of time, quickly, let's go through.
He says, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Say it, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I fear no evil,
for the Lord is with me. Say it again,
even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I fear no evil,
for the Lord is with me.
Say his rod
and his staff,
they comfort me.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite verses. You can guess now.
In 2015, it's one of my favorite verses.
He prepares a table before me.
Say like you believe it. He prepares a table before me.
This is what makes me excited.
In the presence of my enemies.
Declare to somebody they don't have to die.
Whether they die or live,
I will still be blessed.
A table is still before me,
prepared by the Lord.
If the enemy likes,
let him die.
If he likes,
let him live.
My table is prepared,
and there is nothing they can do about it.
Of course, you know why I emphasize this. Because of all those who are seeing enemies, you die. 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 What are they waiting for?
Listen, whether they die or not, you are blessed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But God now commanded, you must never pray that they should die.
If you identify somebody as your enemy, have mercy on him. Say, Lord, don't let him die in his sins. If she dies now, she'll go to hellfire.
The fellow also needs salvation. Some of these, people say that the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That is a date.
That's how they used to count days those days. They didn't have BC, AD that we have now. They used to have the reign of a king as their reference point. So part of the date is the day that King Uzziah died. That was when the Lord, it was a date. The vision was not relevant to the death of the man. As if God won't talk to you unless your enemy is dead.
Next time they say that, I saw the Lord. You will now say, my enemy is dead, so I can see the Lord.
It's just a calendar date.
It's like me telling you that, you see, on the 11th of December, I married my wife. You now say to everybody, until your number is following each other, 11 and 12, you can't marry.
That's not a prophetic word. Olanka, what's your wedding date?
See? No rhyming at all.
I can be counting here. If people have all kinds of people married on the date like 17th of September. The number, both odd numbers, you know what I'm saying?
It doesn't mean anything. I hope you are getting my point.
Let nobody tell you, say, until your enemy die, you won't see the Lord.
Declare it again. Say, he prepares the table before me.
He prepares the table.
In the presence of my enemies.
In the presence of my
enemies.
He has anointed my head with oil.
And my cup runs over.
My cup overflows.
Miles Morrow said, there are two angels. One of them, the name is goodness. The other, the name is mercy.
I didn't know they were angels. So that's why they can follow people.
Do like this.
When you want to say what I want to say, say goodness and mercy. You know, you are looking at people. Do you get my point?
Everybody say goodness
and mercy They are following me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Let's begin to give the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you because goodness is following me. Mercy is following me. Goodness is following me. Mercy is following me. Lord, I thank you because you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for making this word real in my life by virtue of your sacrifice, by virtue of your death on the cross. These words have become real in my life. They are now mine. They are the will of the Father that he wrote. Now you have paid to make these things my portion. I thank you. I live for you. I worship you. I serve you all the days of my life. I appreciate you. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You died for me. Now I live for you. You died for me. Now I live for you. You died for me. Now I will always live for you because I belong to you. I am your servant. I am your slave. And I'm also your friend. Lord Jesus, I thank you for bringing me to the Father, for washing me clean, for washing me entirely of every sin, of every iniquity. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you because I've been washed. I've been made clean. I have been washed. I have been made clean. I have been washed. I have been made clean. I am pure in my entire being. My spirit is pure. My soul is pure. My body is washed. My body is washed. And I have been renewed. Lord, I thank you because my body is washed and have been renewed. Lord, I thank you because from inside, I am being renewed day by day, day by day. Any corrupting influence from outside, I wipe it away by the power of the regeneration spirit, the spirit of renewal that's bubbling up inside me at all times. Jesus, I thank you because every part of me, healing is my portion from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Healing is my portion. I thank you, Jesus, because you died and made this thing my own. Lord, I thank you because every ancestral curse has been wiped away. Oh, I don't have any ancestor that is cursed. Jesus, you are my ancestor. Abraham, the father of faith, that is my ancestor. I am of God. I am of God, and I have overcome. I thank you because the spirit of the victor, the spirit of the overcomer, it is inside me. The spirit of the victor, the spirit of the overcomer. I will accomplish what God created me to accomplish. I will do what the Lord created me to do. I will do what he created me to do. I will serve the purpose of God in this my life. I have the power, the energy of the spirit supplied by the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I will live, I will not die. I will live, I will not die. I will live, I will not die. Healing, perfect health, that I may serve God all the days of my life. That is my portion. Say, Jesus, I thank you. Say, Jesus, I thank you. Say, Lord, I know by virtue of that power working inside me, by virtue of your mercy and grace that helps me in the time of need, I walk above sin, I live above the devil. I walk above sin, I live above the devil. I resist every corrupting influence, every temptation. I walk in the path of righteousness because you are leading me therein. That's why, Jesus, I worship you. That's why my eyes are on you alone. That's why my eyes are on you. That's why my eyes are on you. That is the effect. Life is in you and life is flowing into me. Life is in you and it is flowing into me. Life is in you and it is flowing into me. By virtue of that life, I live. By virtue of that life, I am healed. By virtue of that life, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Declare it again. Say, I am a positive influence in my nation. Say it again. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. According to the word of God, I am the salt of the earth. And I am the light of the world. By the power of God, I retain my saltness. I am different from the world. I am up ahead, and the world must follow. Say it again. I am up ahead, and the world must follow. I don't follow the world. The world follows me. They follow me to the mountain of God. They follow me to know my God. Because I am the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Father, we give you thanks once again. We thank you because you are good. We thank you because your mercy endures forever. Thank you because goodness and mercy, they are following us all the days of our lives. And Lord, every time we abide in your presence, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.